it's really terrible. But, you know, it takes forever to bring it up. If you click from, let's say, today's weather to, you know, to the weekly weather, that's it. The whole page goes blank. Completely blank. And they put an advertisement, you know, trying to sell me slippers or whatever it is. And then you have to X out of that, and hopefully it doesn't lock up. Most of the times it locks up. I have to get rid of it, start all over again, and then maybe if I was lucky, go to the radar, and I finally get the radar. That thing always locks up too. And years ago it was great. It was easy to get terrific reports on hurricanes that were out at sea. Now, you can get them, but you have to go through an act of Congress to get them. It's not that easy. And the details are just vague. It was so much better years ago.
Well, in the old days, these things were all experimental, and so they were just trying to test the waters, see what they could do, see how people liked what they could do. But we've reached a region of monetization. Everyone is trying to squeeze the profit right now. Reddit has blown up their service by charging large amounts of money for API access to the software. All these companies are feverishly trying to make enough money to warrant the expanded stock prices that they have because they're tech companies. So, and they have no money behind it. It's just the promise of being a tech company. So all these different places, the streaming services, the websites, the web pages, all of them are just running around trying to figure out how they could get money from us all, either directly by charging or indirectly by selling our privacy away.
I know it. I agree. That's why I still like going to the library and looking through their magazines, It's a refreshing change from, staring at the computers with all the advertisements and problems the computers sometimes give you. It's always fun to sit in a nice air-conditioned library, page through, I like it, all the space, sky and telescope, and, that's very, very relaxing to do. Anyway, I'm going to turn in. Good net tonight, Roy. And we'll be back next week or sometime during the week. Turn it back to you, ACTGS, WS2N. 73 on your final.
Okay, very good, Paul. You keep in mind there are such things as ad blockers. Sometimes they don't work, but a lot of times they do. And occasionally for things that I really want access to, I'll pay them to get over the paywall, but not too many. It would be nice if everything was cheap, easy, and private, but that's not the nature of economies and such. So have a great week, and I'll talk to you down the line, Paul. This is ACTGS clear.
73, Roy. Have a good night. WS2N clear.
Yeah, Roy, if you're still here, WB2BXO.
Yeah, I'm still here, Frank.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, thanks for sending me that article on Avi Loeb earlier in the week. I can see why you were sort of amused by that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I get annoyed when I see him in the news for positive things, so it's a nice change of pace. I don't know what the hell's going on with that guy. It's not that he's stupid. I think he's just inherently a grifter, and I think he thinks he could get some kind of fame and book value if he promotes Little Green Men. It's really an embarrassment to the whole field.
Yeah, I don't really know what's going on there either. And I had intended to try to watch the UFO hearings while I was doing some work this week, and then just got involved either in work or in something else and didn't put it on. But from what I'd seen in the summaries and stuff, was the David Gresh guy kind of made a fool of himself, throwing around a lot of jargon and talking about finding alien biologics. Yet apparently he brought along no documentary evidence, no physical evidence. My guess is the hearings were scheduled simply by Congress critters who want to embarrass the current administration and just kind of took advantage of these characters. So go ahead.
Perhaps, but I mean, how do you embarrass the Biden administration by bringing in a bunch of clowns to do a clown act? I don't know. It strikes me that I think the Congress has lost any focus of reality. They've let a few loose cannons kind of take over the joint. And, to me, it didn't embarrass the Biden administration. It embarrassed this Congress. This Congress is increasingly a bigger and bigger joke, unfortunately. It's a shame.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Yeah, well, that's what happened. Is it because, I guess, McCarthy got the speakership by so few votes that he has to count out to these loose cannons in order to keep the cats in line, so to speak. It's crazy. I recall years ago, I was thinking about it, I worked for one of the congressional agencies, and I remember the boss brought up a fella from Brookings to teach us the nuts and bolts of federal budgeting, going obviously at a deeper level of what you do in high school and college. Anyway, and he was, I don't remember who he was chief of staff to before he joined Brookings, but anyway, he said he left Capitol Hill when some of the newer people came on board late in the, even in the 1980s, and he decided they just weren't of the same caliber as some of the guys who were, the post-war generation that had been there and was beginning to retire then. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, apparently these things happen in cycles, because I remember when the Tea Party came into existence, and, you know, they were the precursors. Who I think they call themselves now the Liberty Lobby, who knows? And they drove the Speaker of the House raving insane, because there was no getting these people under control. And yeah, he has so few people making up the Republican majority that he has to debase himself not only with these crackpot Republicans. But that guy that got elected in Long Island who lied through his teeth about everything. And they all just kind of say, yeah, nothing wrong here.
Yeah, the Freedom Caucus. Yeah, and the lady from Georgia is so out there. Even the Freedom Caucus won't put up with her anymore, apparently.
Well, I think she demonstrated a very small degree of actual sanity. I think that's what really annoyed them. She's a little too buddy-buddy with McCarthy, among other things. And also, she picks fights with other members of that little group. The woman, she basically called her a bitch on the Congress floor.
It was Green that apparently got thrown out of the Freedom Caucus. I'm not sure who called the other the B word. I forget who else was. Was it Bobo? I think my wife called her. Was the other one involved in the cat fight? I mean, this really sounds like Mean Girls on steroids. Pardon the pun. Well, some of these people probably are on something. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, it was Green who called Boebert a bitch, I think, because Boebert attempted to impeach Biden just like Marjorie wants to do, and she feels as though that she stole her material. I don't know what's going on. I mean, people are going to be writing psychiatric workups on this particular Congress for years to come.
Yeah, well, I think Liz Cheney said it very well in a speech a couple of weeks ago. She said, we have to stop electing idiots, period, end of story. And I think that explains it very, very well. And, I mean, the whole, thing is, it's just totally crazy. On the other subject you were talking about this evening on VFM's aviation story, I recall the best story I could think of. I don't know, were you, I don't think you've been on the air long enough to remember the guy. Had a guy who was denizen of the old Mayark 36 repeater, NE3A, not even three angstroms. We used to call him. He's Boris from Brighton Beach, and one evening I had a bunch of friends over. I forget whether it was for New Year's Eve or some other occasion, and he came over with his bottle of vodka and starts telling his fighter pilot stories from Korea, except that it turns out that Boris was a Red Army defector who wound up in Brighton Beach, and he flew MiGs for the other side. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, there's still probably good stories. I think bygones are bygones at this point. No one really cares who was on what side back in the old days.
Yeah, well, in fact, I mean, they were good stories. I mean, the whole thing with Boris was actually kind of sad. But I tried to talk him into tracking down some of the American pilots he flew against in over MiG Alley, and did the talk show circuit with them, and he was just too much of an unhappy person at that point, and no, I wouldn't do it, but I thought it would have been some really good history for him to do that. As it turns out, DOD only admitted publicly very recently, a couple of months ago, it was on CNN and I think in the Times, that our guys had actually flown against Russian pilots in Korea. Even though I knew about it from Boris in 1990, apparently it was never officially acknowledged by the Defense Department that our guys had flown against the Russians in Korea until very recently. Go ahead.
Yeah, I could understand that. You know, I mean, that was a heavy-duty Cold War type of stuff, and, you know, any more information to frighten people, I could understand that. You know, I mean, that would be a good idea, but I think back in the 90s or so, it'd probably require a lot of gear and a lot of, you know, arranging things with people who had money. You know, unfortunately, nowadays, it's kind of easy. You got a webcam, you got a microphone, you can do some video editing on the fly, you can post it on YouTube or other places, and, you know, even if it's not popular, it's down on digital data. So, yeah, but back in those days, it probably would be a major hassle to arrange for something like that, I would think.
Well, yeah, but I'm sure some of the talk shows at the time would have been glad to have this fella and some of the American pilots on to talk about their experiences. Well, you know, never happened, unfortunately, and Boris is long gone. But, you know, there were some good stories, and I had his bottle of vodka in my fridge for quite a few years. Finally gave it away to... I think to one of N2GOT's friends a couple of years later.
Oh, well, I don't know what grade of vodka Boris had. Never met him, never heard of him. I've only been in this hobby now for about 12 years.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm talking about around 1990, yeah. I know you're a relative newcomer to this hobby, yeah. it's hard to believe I'm one of the old-timers now. I probably remember even it was probably about 20, 25 years ago when I began to realize I was becoming an old-timer when some new guy asked me on one of the repeaters, is it true that, you know, that when you started out, novices were limited to 75 watts, CW only, crystal controlled? Like, I couldn't believe that. That's what old novices were allowed to do way back then. I said, yep, that's what I started at a hot water 16, HW16, running 25 watts. In fact, the last time I saw one of those things, it was literally in a museum. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, the present is thankfully always better than the past, but I mean, there was much worse in the early histories of this hobby when they had no real way of adjusting frequency except the length of your antenna, and you were operating a spark gap, and you didn't even have a loudspeaker. You had one of those little glass ampules with conductive powder and coherence. That must have been a major pain in the backside, trying to receive signals using a coherer and a spark gap generator.
Yeah. In fact, I understand there's actually a fairly modern engineering controversy about whether Marconi actually heard the SSS signal being transmitted by his station across the Atlantic, whether it was wishful thinking or whether in fact, because as you said, the early early receiver transmitters and receivers were tuned by tuning the antenna, if he heard anything. Some engineers think that it was probably a harmonic, since the fundamental frequency he's thought to have been on was News Radio 880, 880 kilohertz at noon. So it's kind of doubtful he actually heard a signal at that fundamental frequency in December of 1901 at noon Atlantic time. Go ahead.
Yeah, I could believe that entirely, because the way that you tuned receivers, it was the primary length of the radiator and the harmonic, so there was no real way to discern the difference, and you were pouring into the ionosphere a harmonic-rich signal to begin with, so I could easily see some higher harmonic being what he finally, arrived at and he heard.
Yeah, if he actually heard anything at all, and it was just a kind of wishful thinking in the atmospheric noise he was hearing, then it probably wasn't harmonic. I know that, you know, some engineers have supposedly run a bunch of simulations and cranking in the sunspot cycle from that day and all kinds of other data. And they say if he heard anything at all, it would have had to have been a harmonic. And since you know that in midday and daylight, you're not going to hear a signal from across the ocean. That's the only thing that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was rather fortuitous. I mean, this is really early days. They had no idea of propagation, how anything worked. So, you know, but they were working by the seat of their pants. And also, I think he was a bit of a grifter at heart. He was more of a promoter than he was interested in scientific discovery. So who knows? You know, we'll never quite know, will we?
Well, I guess the important thing is that, you know, radio did work out because wireless, or what we call, at least in this country, radio, had actually been around in some form for, by some accounts, quite a few years before Marconi, but he was the one who recognized its commercial value and promoted it. You know, there were some experiments 10 or 20 years before then where people saw that wireless worked, but said, where's the unique value? You can do this by stringing wires everywhere. You know, and they didn't develop it.
Well, that's the famous line someone asked Hertz after he had discovered radio waves. He said, I can't imagine any way to monetize. He didn't say monetize. He didn't think that there was any way to make a profit off of it. It's just a scientific curiosity. So it gives you an idea of scientists were very brilliant in some ways, but not terribly brilliant in others. We were all walking around with 20/20 hindsight, so we probably would have come to the same conclusion.
Entirely possible. And I don't know if you remember, there was an article in QST a number of years ago, probably about a decade ago, focused on a woman by the name of, I think, Mary Texarkana Mallon. May not have the name exactly right, but it may be close enough to find the QST article on the site, where apparently her father, Professor Mallon, her father or grandfather experimented with sending wireless signals from one peak in the Shenandoah Mountains to another in 1869. Again, it was an academic curiosity, apparently, and either it wasn't well documented or nobody quite recognized the value at the time. Go ahead.
AC2GS. Yeah, well, it's not uncommon after great discoveries are made that someone running through a library someplace sees an article and reads it and say, oh my gosh, they did that earlier. It was the wrong people. They had the wrong connections. It was published in the wrong magazine at the wrong time. So there's a lot of little bits and pieces of brilliance that unfortunately never was taken seriously, or it just got lost among the publications.
Yeah, but you know, as I said, apparently she felt that her grandfather had, you know, should have perhaps received credit for inventing wireless communications and was never recognized for it. I really haven't seen the story anywhere else, but I guess the league thought it was credible enough to do a story on this a number of years ago. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know how heavily they vetted her. It's very likely they kind of need something to fill the spaces. What do you think about the increase in dues that they've come up with?
Yeah, they're gonna. I think the dues are ridiculous, and then on top of the dues, they charge you for all your award certificates and stuff. I showed my wife what I was paying to get all my DXCC certificates. She says, wait a minute, you win an award and they charge you for the award? You know, I think they're, they're already gone, as we say in Jewish.
Yeah, but I don't know if you're aware, for 2024, January 1st, is a new scheme they've come up with. Not only are they going to increase the dues from $49 a year to $59 a year, but they're taking away the hard copy of QST. You can still read it on a computer, but if you want a magazine mailed to you, you have to pay another $25. So $10 for the dues, $25 for the magazine, So they kicked it up $35. That's about a 30% increase.
Yeah, that's crazy. I actually didn't get too upset about it because I don't really want the hard copy of magazines. My eyesight isn't good, and the most practical way for me to read it is on the computer anyway. So, you know, I'm kind of fine with that. But, yeah, for people who want the magazine to pay, what would it be? Is 80, what is that, 79 or bucks a year? That's crazy. I remember at one time they said that once you're age 70, you could get a life membership and not pay for your award certificates, etc. anymore. And I'm not sure if they're doing that anymore either. You know, I was kind of looking forward to that. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if they changed that. They did in the notice say that they weren't accepting any lifetime membership, payments, you know, until they figured out how much they were going to charge people for it. So, you know, if anyone kind of decided to jump in and, you know, pay the lower price list for the lifetime, I guess they don't want them to get away with that. Although I would assume most of the real heavy-duty subscribers or members are old enough that it's very cost-effective for the ARRL to sell them lifetime memberships under those circumstances. It's not like there's a 20-year-old who's applying for a lifetime membership.
Yeah, I really should have done that. I mean, it's easy to say in retrospect that I really should have done that when I was a kid. I would have come out way ahead by paying the $300 or whatever it was when I was a kid for the life membership. You know, hindsight is 20/20, as you say. I didn't do it, and I'm sure a lot of other hams who didn't do it either. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, 20/20 hindsight. If I had a time machine, I wouldn't bother with a lifetime membership for the ARRL. I would go back around 1990 and tell younger me to buy as much Apple stock as he could afford.
Yeah, right. yeah, right. You know, it's like our parents who... all wished, or parents' generation anyway, that wished they had the foresight to buy IBM stock in 1950.
Yeah, I mean, there's always I shoulda, I coulda, I woulda type of thing going on. It's just most of the time it's incredibly not obvious to everyone. You know, there's always those smart asses who tell you that they made a fortune doing it. But, you know, who knows how many of those are legit.
Yeah. I actually did, during the pandemic, I guess out of boredom, I kind of did a little ebook projecting the job market out to 2030 using a bunch of the Department of Labor data and some speculation I picked up in various places. And a month or two ago, some jobs program locally hired me as a consultant for a couple of weeks in part because they looked at this ebook and said, "Oh, you're an expert on this stuff. We got to hire you." I'm like, "Huh? Okay, if you say I'm an expert. I'm going to win."
Yeah, well, you know, what could you do? I mean, the slogan, unfortunately, for the tech world is "fake it until you make it."
Yeah. In fact, that's a favorite slogan of the guy whose organization hired me as a consultant on this stuff. That's what he always says in his presentations. Fake it till you make it.
Yeah, it's this decade's version of think outside the box, unfortunately. I don't like the principle because it basically means that everyone is lying. And if you're very lucky, whatever they're lying about will suddenly come into existence and they won't be carted off to the jail. You know, that didn't quite work out for a lot of tech companies, but I think they're still using it, unfortunately, especially in crypto exchanges, which thankfully mostly are going bankrupt and disappearing.
Yeah, I did get a hold of I did get a kick out of the Sam Bankman-Fried thing, where the judge threw the book at him and literally sent him home to his mother. And, that was kind of amusing. Go ahead.
Well, he's been naughty. He's been kind of sending copies of his ex-girlfriend's diary, I think, to the New York Times. So he's a miserable piece of crap. You know, I mean, and the PR that he had, it was not quite as good as Elon, but remarkably close. You know, he presented himself as this guy who wasn't doing it for money, but the betterment of society, and he always dressed in cheap clothes, T-shirts, and you know, garbage. And you know, he didn't mention that he had a penthouse apartment and millions and millions of dollars worth of little toys. But he's—I don't know. There's something broken in this guy's brain.
I'm sure his ex is thrilled with him also. Publishing. I hadn't seen that yet, that her diary was serialized in the New York Times. I actually thought the New York Times was better than that, but, you know, they got to sell papers or sell website news or whatever they do now, too. that's something. And, of course, the one that came to mind with Fake It Till You Make It was the lady from Theranos with the fake drug testing kit that wound up faking it all the way to federal prison.
Well, the whole thing was a fake. She put on a baritone voice for no particular reason. She made a point of dressing like Steve Jobs. She tried to pull all kinds of penny ante psychological tricks on people. And she did get, I think, 2 years knocked off her 11 years, so she's only going to be in for 9 years. You know, I mean, you know, from the get-go, it was all a scam. You know, it started as a scam, and it never changed. You have to know what you're freaking doing. I mean, you know, it's sort of like the discussion we were having earlier about going back in time. You know, having philosophical discussions and suggesting the way equations can be twisted is one thing. To start selling stock options on a machine to do it before you have the faintest idea how to do it, you know, that doesn't strike me as proper business, but you know, that's been the business of this 21st century of ours.
Yeah, and the whole thing's, I remember that, you know, that the story was kind of nuts. Well, I think in the case of the Theranos lady, Elizabeth something or other, I think the problem was that she scammed rich people, and you don't make, I mean, you can scam poor people all you want, but you can't scam rich people, you know, and get away with it. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's Elizabeth Holmes, I think, and yeah, one of the things that really exacerbated it was that she robbed, you know, she robbed from Joe Public, who invested a couple of thousand dollars like they do with cryptocurrency or stock exchange things. Yeah, them going, you know, they kind of sit around saying, yeah, we got to do something about that. But yeah, it's taking hundreds of millions of dollars. I think she even robbed good old Kissinger, fell for her scam. So there were a lot of supposedly intelligent people who fell for it hook, line, and sinker. And usually they want their money back. I don't think they can get their money back, but then they'll get their pound of flesh, I guess.
Well, Well, yeah, she scammed ordinary people instead of prominent people like Kissinger and his ilk. She probably would not have gotten a long prison sentence. You know, you just don't scam powerful people. You could scam the powerless all you want. Anyway, it's getting to my bedtime, and I'm more or less retired. So, probably past yours, too, so I'll let you go. But fun to chat a bit, and thanks again for the article. 73WB2BX, so.
You're welcome, Frank. 73, yeah, it's coming up to my bedtime as well. So have a good week, and I hope we have a chance to talk again next Sunday.
Yeah, I'll try to be around. 73.
This is Kilo Echo 2 Alpha Uniform Mike.
W2L repeater. That tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Good morning. The time is 1:55 a.m. Partly cloudy. Temperature 60 degrees.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2L repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Thank you. FlyMarkInfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Good morning. The time is 4:55 a.m. Partly cloudy. Temperature 60 degrees.
W2VL repeater. This is the W2VL repeater. Good morning. The time is 5 o'clock a.m.
FlyMark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Good morning. The time is 5:01 a.m. Partly cloudy. Temperature 60 degrees.
W2VL repeater.
FlyMark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Good morning. The time is 6 a.m. Partly sunny. Temperature 60 degrees.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
FlyMark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Good morning. The time is 7 a.m. Sunny. Temperature 60 degrees. The time is 7:55 a.m. Mostly sunny. Temperature 68 degrees.
FlyMark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W1.
WGN repeater system.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
WP2EAV, listen.
Good morning, Ed. KD2KNH, Mobile, Upton.
Good morning, Charlie. Did you say you're in Upton as by Brookhaven? Brookhaven Lab?
I just passed by, heading down to the expressway to go to my next call.
All right, but you did say Upton. I don't care if you're really in Upton. I'm just curious if that's what you said.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't have any equipment in the lab anymore. I used to have at a few different locations.
Well, look at the bright side then. You don't risk getting irradiated.
That's true, but you never know. We might get pulled into a black hole one day. I actually did have a service call inside the nuclear reactor they used to have operating here, which was really neat.
I assume you mean the nuclear reactor facility and not literally the nuclear reactor.
Actually, it was literally the reactor because it was I know it was a small reactor setup, but you had to walk into the unit itself. You know, it has a big sealed door behind you. Like a science fiction. I believe it was an implosion type system, but it was a small reactor.
All right, just think, that was not a normal business trip.
You know, that's what I like about this business. You can be in an attic working on a copy machine, you can be in the lab, you can see a reactor. I mean, years ago I had a copier on a movie set when they were remaking Sabrina, and that was interesting.
So, you really have gotten around. Okay, I've gotten around too. And I've always found it's very interesting to get out of the normal. You know, it's always interesting to get a little bit out of your comfort zone, just not wildly out of your comfort zone.
Well, I'm a sightseer. You know, everybody needs a copier and a printer, so, you know, we're everywhere.
I understand, but I don't think anybody has a copier or a printer on top of, say, Mount Everest.
Well, if I get a call from that wise man, I'll let you know. But I don't think I'll find one there. Maybe on top of Pikes Peak in the visitor center, but I'm not going that far.
I think the proverbial wise man on the mountain is usually limited to, like, 10,000 feet above sea level.
Yeah, if he is truly a wise man, he wouldn't go any higher. Absolutely. But, well, I don't know.
Now, because once you start getting up that high, and Pikes Peak is kind of on the cusp, I've heard a lot of people have problems due to the thin air on top of Pikes Peak, and above that, everybody does.
Oh, absolutely. Especially when you come from where we are at sea level, used to the air we have. Remember, whenever I would go out there backpacking or whatnot, you know, you get up in the mountains and you were hurting. It took a while to get acclimated.
Then again, depending upon your particular route, that can happen at sea level also. I mean, Harriman State Park is not much above sea level at all, and yet I have felt the same way you describe on a particularly steep hike.
Yeah, you are exerting yourself, so, yeah. Interesting story. I was on a cross-country trip in the summertime with a buddy of mine, teenagers, and backpacking in Rocky Mountain National Park. But Estes Park, which is a town right near Rocky Mountain National Park, in order to get through there, we drove through Drake Canyon, a little town called Drake, and we slept by the river. The next night after we left, like a 100-year flood came through and wiped the town out.
I don't know, Charlie. I think somebody up there doesn't like you. It's just his timing is off.
That's why I keep changing my plans last minute. You never know. KD2KH.
I'm getting close to where I have to be. But no, it sounds interesting. Actually, I haven't done anything really silly in that mode lately. Hasn't been since last May 2022, that I did stupid things in Harriman State Park. And it just hasn't worked out. I have friends who have scheduled stuff, but they seem to sneak a peek at my appointments calendar and only schedule these trips when I can't possibly join them.
Well, timing is everything. Sometimes it just doesn't work out. But yeah, it's like, it's amazing. You can, hike in the mountains your whole life and you take one stupid fall, you know, one step, and you realize anything can happen.
Well, for example, if you're hiking down Grand Canyon, there is no such thing as one stupid fall. Hang on, I'm getting a phone call on here anyway. WV380.
Oh yeah, I can tell you stories about that too. We used to free climb around the outside of the canyon. A lot of fun, but you do stupid things when you're young. Right, Ed, I'm going to assume you got a phone call. KD2KH clear, 73, I'm at my destination. Have a good day.
Yeah, Charlie, I'm on the phone and I'm parked anyway. Have a good day. WB3AB.
NY2H, NY2H, WA2FBM. Nothing heard. WA2FBM, listening mobile. Thank you.
Bravo 2, Mike, Sierra, Bravo, mobile listening.
KD2FIU, portable.
2FIU, portable, WB2MSC. Copying you loud and clear. Go ahead.
Yeah, you got me sitting on my sofa in my living room. I'm about 10 miles west of the Glen Oaks repeater site, and I'm using maybe a 25-year-old ICOM T2H.
Well, it sounds like it's working. Just don't slouch too much in the sofa and keep the antenna up and down and you should be fine. How many watts is that? Is that a 5 watt?
No, I think it's a 7 watt. It's one of their early sport models. It uses 8 AA's. It runs 12 volts and it's got a metal counterpoise to the base. The base of the HT is actually a metal bar.
Okay, so the back panel of the radio is loaded with AA batteries, I guess. I can remember having a supply of NiCad batteries, AA, and a charger, and I would keep rotating them into the 70s. Some of them were CB radios. Lafayette had a couple like that. I think it's must have been nine batteries. I don't think it's a 12.
I think this originally came with NiCad. I think I want to order some metal hydride, nickel metal hydride for it. It's not suitable at all for lithium ion, but the AA alkalines do last a while. It's a BNC antenna, the original type. It's rather large. The HT is large, but it seems to do much better than my other ones, that Seymour.
Oh yeah, some of those radios were very hefty. Some of the commercial ones that were used for public safety, if the cop was walking around with one of those, they didn't need to carry a nightstick. It's like a weapon. Heavy, but they work. I didn't have too many ham radio back in my first lifetime as a ham. I had one aviation one when I was flying. I had an aviation one, I can't remember, ICOM. I forget what color, but it was also very heavy. And the battery was a NiCad, but it was a big brick that sort of attached to the bottom of the body of the radio, by an additional half in length. And that was the battery, and that's what gave it some progress. Things have gotten easier and lighter now. Back to you.
At Cobra. Cobra used to make the HH-45, which was all of 11 meters, about 120 channels of it, and weather, and that used 8 AA's also. I gotta go, the phone is ringing. WB2MSB, KD2FIU, I'll be back in a few.
Roger, Roger, WB2MSB.
Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
K2KNB, K2KNB, here's Whiskey Alpha 2, Sierra Victor Mike, WA2SVM Mobile, Long Island Expressway. And nothing heard, WA2SVM, listening.